Hey guys, welcome to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. My name's Karina and I'll be your hostess. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Okie dokie, I'll wait till 10 seconds.
Okay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Caffeine and Chaos. My name is Karina, I'll be your hostess, and I have my husband on today as my on-show guest.
Hey guys.
So, today's episode is a part two that goes along with last Tuesday's episode, in which I chatted a little bit about mental health. I just talked about my personal experiences with it. Shared about some of my childhood into college and now as a mom and a wife, just what mental health is based off of my personal experiences. And I just talked about some of the ways that I just kind of, I guess, cope. I hate using that word, especially when it comes to mental health, because I feel like that's such a fad word when it comes to mental health. But I don't know. Anyway, I'll think of the word later, and then it'll dawn on me, and I'll be like, oh, that was a much better word to use. I should have said that instead. Anyway, it happens all the time. I record these podcasts, and then I'll be trying to think of a word, and I'll be reaching while I'm recording, and then, like, 2 hours later, I'll be washing dishes or something, and the word will just pop into my head, and I'll be like, ah, that's the word I was supposed to use.
But, story of my life, bro.
Yeah, I know. And at that point, it has like 15 listens. And I'm like, well, that's all right. Everybody got the wrong word. But whatever. Sue me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Might as well.
So just chatted a little bit about that on Tuesday's episode. Would highly encourage you to go back and give it a listen to give yourself just some good background to what we're going to talk about today. Also, going to put this plug in here real quick. I'll do it here at the beginning and then again at the end. But if you haven't checked out my husband's podcast, Time Off Talk, yet, this is a great podcast for dads and husbands. Highly recommend that you go and take a listen to his content as well. His podcast this week also touched along the same kind of lines of what we're going to talk about today. So I think it's a great segue into the topic. So let's jump right in, because I definitely want to give us a good amount of time to talk about today's topic. And I have used that word so much in the last 3 seconds. But that's okay.
At least three times.
That's okay.
At least three times.
That's okay. It's...
I'm going to buy you in a sec. I'm going to buy you a thesaurus for your birthday.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Such an endearing gift.
Hey, look, man, I'm helping you out with your grammar.
Oh, gee, thanks. There's two areas that I wanted to touch on today. The first one, just really briefly, we're not going to dig into it. I think you did a great job of touching on this topic in your podcast you did this week. But let's just chat a little bit about men's mental health. So in my episode, I, of course, talked about women's mental health and what I know about it based off of personal experiences. But the one thing I did say that I'll add in here is I did say that I think we live in a society that uses mental health as a fad or a trend. And we really see it, especially on social media, you know, people posting about mental health and why it's important and, you know, pictures with quotes and different kinds of words of encouragement all about mental health. And I think it's a great thing to have that. And I think it's great that we have awareness, but I think it's come to a point in society where it's almost a trend to say, oh, I have anxiety or, oh, I have depression. And let me put this in here. I am completely 100% not writing off anybody who says those things, because I think it would be wrong to look at anyone who says those things and say, well, I don't believe you do, because that's not your place to say that.
Correct.
And in my podcast, I shared my personal experiences with it. And so I would never want to say that to someone and then find out later that they really did suffer from anxiety, because I would feel horrible. So that's not the position I'm coming from. But we do live in a society where it's almost this trendy thing to talk about mental health sometimes, But I've seen a really common trend of it's popular to talk about women's mental health and women's mental health awareness, but very rarely do you ever see men's mental health talked about. And the one area where I do see it talked about is in relation to PTSD with veterans. But that's really the only area I've ever seen it talked about with men. And I know just as a married couple, you and I have had discussions about your mental health. And a lot of that came to light after we had kids, just based off of information that we got from doctors and therapists who we sat down with, who pointed out different things to us that we didn't even know. So I wanted to just touch on it a little bit here at the beginning of the episode before we jump into the second part. But based off of your experience, I mean, obviously I know what I see on social media, but I'm also not friends with a lot of guys like you are. So would you say that, you know, there's an equal amount of rapport and conversation about mental health among men as much as there is among women? Or would you say that it's something that men kind of keep on the DL?
I think a lot of guys do keep it on the DL. But I know a lot of guys, I don't think men and women talk about mental health the same way. Like, you know, cause a lot of guys will, I guess we'll give like the excuse of just like, I'm just having a rough day. I'm just pissed off this, that, and the third, like, you know, and it really doesn't, I don't really know. Like, I guess maybe I don't talk to guys with those types of issues. Like, but I have definitely had friends of mine who, you know, say things like, yeah, I'm just like really stressed out. There's a lot just going on in my life, but nobody like diagnoses it as a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. The only time I really see anybody getting diagnosed with a mental health issue is if, you know, there's a talk of suicide. I get, and as kind of grim as that sounds, I've actually had to deal with more suicide victims just in the last 6 years being in the Marine Corps than what I would care to admit in my life. So, I'm trying to put this into words that it would actually make sense to people, but I think that mental health is talked about on both ends of the spectrum, both from male and female. But I just think males tend to bury it a lot deeper, mm-hmm. especially for guys like me who are married, who have a family, because we can't necessarily show that stress out front just because that's not our job. That's not we can't show weakness. If we show weakness, that shows that we can't take care of our family. And no man ever wants to have that, you know, labeled. Have that label on him as he can't take care of his family. So I think it's talked about. It's just not talked about in the fullest extent that women do. There's more women that want to claim mental health, anxiety, depression. And I honestly, I'm probably going to get hated for saying this, but I honestly feel like it's an excuse. Like it's an excuse. It's an excuse not to deal with the problems that are going on around them, because 90% of the people that I talk to that have these issues don't go talk to anybody.
Yeah,
they just their first reaction is to run to a doctor. I'm depressed. I have anxiety. I shake a lot. I'm like, okay, so you don't know how to control your own feelings and emotions. That's what it comes off to me. Now, granted, I'm a very brash human being, so that might not always be the case. But I will say though, moreover in my life, that's what I see more often than not.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Like I said, I just wanted to touch on it briefly, not so much to get into the topic of it, because I know, again, you did discuss a little bit of it on your podcast this week, but so that the listeners can kind of have an understanding of the difference of your perspective on it versus mine, so that this second part will make a whole lot more sense. Because what I want to talk about is dealing with mental health as a married spouse. Obviously, you're a spouse if you're married, but you know.
Well, you know.
Minor detail. But, I mean, you know, hey, if we're being honest, we live in a world where you can really claim to be anything. So, yeah. I could be unmarried and be a spouse.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway. You know, it's all the way that you look at it.
I guess so.
But, so what I want to talk about is in marriage – obviously, you and I have the perspective of what a marriage is, what a marriage should be. And I understand that not all of my listeners have the same biblical foundation that we do, and that's totally okay. But I think what we can all agree on is that marriage is two people coming together, agreeing that their goal is to spend the rest of their life together. And when you stand at that altar before all of your witnesses and you say those vows, the extent, I mean, our vows, traditional wedding vows, you know, have all the, in, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And I think that what a lot of people don't realize is when you say in sickness or in health, for better or for worse, you really need to mean it. And I know for us over the last 3 years, you know, the for better or for worse in sickness and in health, a lot of that has circulated around kids and pregnancies and mental health, if you really think about it. In my last episode, I shared about how after Easton was born, no one talked about postpartum depression. None of my doctors addressed it. They just kind of threw this piece of paper at me and said, take this test. And I answered the questions, what I thought was best of my ability, and just kind of moved on. And I remember you and I had a conversation maybe about 2 years ago. I think it was after Wyatt was born. And I actually did reach out to a doctor about postpartum depression, that you had made a comment to me that after Easton was born, you had kind of thought maybe I had a hard time with some postpartum depression because I just wasn't motivated. And at the time, because no one was talking about it, I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know that that could be what it was, that it wasn't always the sadness and the crying or the anger. And I didn't even know until, you know, Wyatt, that it could be these sudden spurts of anger. Or after Addison was born, I didn't realize that it could be the anxiety that literally would just crumple you to the kitchen floor because you felt so helpless and you just didn't know what to do. And it was those
that the postpartum depression, just in the research that I've done and watching you and everything, like, it comes in so many different forms and people just don't understand it. People don't know what they're looking for. I mean, even the people who have it don't even know what they're looking for. And like at the beginning with Easton, it wasn't bad. I think it really, the postpartum depression hit really hard is when we found out that you had the, brain fart.
That would help, but I don't know what you're talking about. So,
No, when you couldn't feed Easton.
We tried so hard over and over again
to feed Easton, you know, breastfeed Easton, and we couldn't. And that shattered you. Like, you were and I didn't know what to do except tell you to suck it up and, like, let's get on with life. We can't just sit here and just hope for the best. Like, no, we got to get moving. We got to figure out a different way. So I had to make the hard decision. It's just like, no, we're getting formula because this isn't working out and you're killing yourself over this. And it's not going to be a thing. The countless hours of staying awake at night, watching you cry and try to feed our son who was crying. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, that was rough.
And I had to go to the morning.
And then just our experiences with Wyatt versus Addison were so different. But I think, you know, one thing that you and I have really learned, and I think now that we've had three kids, I mean, as horrible as it sounds, I don't think we figured it out until after we had had three kids. Just how to support each other through that and realizing how important it was to support each other. With Wyatt, just the anger and the frustration that I felt and the anger and the frustration that you felt, because when you were home, he would just cry and cry and cry. It wasn't like you were the magic solution. And just as parents struggling to figure out what was wrong with our child and hours spent in doctor's offices. And I think we struggled during that time to know how to support each other because we were just both so frustrated and so angry. And I, you know, you said I'm a brash person, and this is probably going to sound really, really weird, but you are. Like, my husband has a very strong personality, much stronger than mine, but he's also quicker to anger than I am. And that's that's just in his personality. And that's something that we've always disagreed on. But when it came to dealing with postpartum depression, the one thing I struggled with was that I had a husband who I think you wanted to understand what I was going through and what I was experiencing, but it was hard because you were faster to get frustrated than I would. And I would get so angry at you because you would be home from work for an hour and the words, "I can't take this anymore," would come out of your mouth. And I would literally just look at you and drop my jaw and think, well, I've been here all day long doing this and you've been home for an hour. What do you mean you can't do this anymore? Like, out of the two of us, if someone should be saying that, it's me, because it's 6 o'clock at night and I've been dealing with this since he was born. So let's talk about it.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, but I think
I'm the bad guy.
You know what I mean. But I think during that time, the one area we really struggled with was communication. And at the end of the day, it came back and I feel like it impacted our marriage in a really negative way, because then that lack of communication about thoughts and how our days went and frustrations leaked into he or she doesn't understand how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. Therefore, they're not going to understand anything that I say. So I'm just going to shut down and not communicate at all. And then it did cause other problems. And that was a really rocky season in our marriage. And rather than acknowledging it as this is a mental health issue. And I remember I dragged you with me to a doctor's appointment because I'd come home and try to explain to you what these doctors were saying. And it wasn't even my doctor. It was the pediatrician that we saw who finally sat me down and told me, "You're not okay, but that's okay." And I remember I dragged you to an appointment, Wyatt's appointment with me. And in front of her, I said, "He doesn't get it. Like, to him, this is just a thing. This is just whatever." And I remember she sat us both down and she kind of just walked you through, this is what is happening in your wife's body right now. And this is not something she can just make the decision to have control over every day. And she needs your support and she needs your help. But she also brought up the fact, and this was really interesting, and kind of why I wanted you to touch on men's mental health at the beginning. But postpartum health isn't just a female issue. Postpartum health is actually a male issue as well. And this was something really interesting I learned about after having Wyatt, because my anxiousness and my anger, you know, would ramp up during the day. I'd be frustrated by the time my husband came home. Then you would come home. And that time in our lives, more than anything, showed me why women are moms and men are not moms. Men are dads.
Thank God.
Because we just have a whole lot more patience. Whether or not we feel like we do, we do. And it's just how we're naturally wired. Our maternal instincts keep us a little bit more together, a little bit longer than guys, and that's okay. And that's why I applaud single parents so much, because I think they literally have one of the hardest jobs in the world. I don't know how they do it. But she brought up the fact that postpartum depression isn't just an issue for moms, but it can also be an issue for dads too. And it's not something that's acknowledged or even talked about. You know, when I was pregnant with Addison, I think they finally started talking about postpartum depression more in my appointments. And at that point, I knew how to advocate for myself, and I knew my doctors really well. And so I gave them a lot of feedback and just shared with them about my experiences and my frustrations and how this needs to be something that's talked about from your second or third OB appointment until 8 weeks after your baby is born. Because especially if you're a first-time mom, you have no idea what to look for. You have no idea what you're doing. I didn't realize that not being motivated to do my dishes and letting them pile up for days was something that I needed to be concerned about, because I was so paranoid that I needed to love my baby. And if I didn't love my baby, there was something wrong with me. And so it just causes this vicious cycle of mental health failure, and the system just fails you.
Yeah. Well, Wyatt was a turd, so let's talk about it. Like, That boy definitely gave us gray hair. I'm pretty sure I went bald. Well, I like unintentionally went bald. trying to just keep up with him, just because it was I don't know. And the thing was, is because, I mean, I think I've talked about it before, within our previous podcast, we had, oh, what am I trying to say here? I literally just lost my whole entire train of thought. I am so sorry. hey, candid camera. He definitely put the stress on me because Easton was such an easy child, right? He didn't cry all that much. It wasn't too crazy. But Wyatt just would scream and cry and scream and cry. And this is before we found out he had a dairy allergy. So we had no idea what was going on. And I'd come, you know, being in a leadership position in the Marine Corps, I was very quick to get angry when people didn't do what I wanted them to do. So a lot of yelling happened in the house because I just honestly didn't know how to shut them up. Like, it was to the point where we were just like, there's got to be something else. But every time we take him to the doctor and they run the regular tests, like, nothing came back wrong until we met Dr. Kelly. And Dr. Kelly was like, yo, he's got a dairy allergy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's mad because his stomach hurts all the time. And you guys are thinking he's hungry, so you're force feeding him more dairy. And his stomach's like hurting all the time. We're like, oh. So, you know, my initial reaction was to get mad at something I couldn't fix. I think that's like the number one thing that dads go through with new babies is we want to fix it right off the bat. And if we don't, we're just going to get angry and just be pissed off. Like, I that's like the best way I can phrase it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like there's so much we could talk about with this, but I don't want to make it super broad. But I think the point that I want to drive home that I really want us to talk about is the importance of supporting your spouse through good mental health times and bad mental health times, and realizing that communicating about mental health is not easy. For you and I, for you and I right now where we are, it's easy.
Yeah, because we've already been through the initial punch to the face.
And to be 100% honest, just so that, you know, listeners understand, it wasn't easy until maybe about 2 months ago. And we've been married for almost 4 years. So it took a lot of work. And even, I mean, PCSing is stressful enough, but talk about not knowing how to communicate with each other, how we were feeling and our frustrations and our anxieties without it coming across as you're the bad guy or you're lazy or you can't do this or you can't do that. Because I think that that's predominantly mm-hmm. what happens in marriages. You have, I'm just going to use a wife because, you know, that's the perspective I can come from. But you have a wife who's just struggling. She's home with the kids or maybe doesn't even have children. I have friends who are struggling with getting pregnant. You know, they have that burden on them. They're working or they're not working. You know, there's just daily frustrations because on top of being a wife and a mom, I have other concerns. I have a household to maintain. Mm-hmm. I have bills to take care of. So you have financial stress. We have other family outside of our immediate family that lives with us. And we're very close with our families. So I talk to my parents every single day because not only are they mentors to me, they're my friends now. And I talk to them as friends.
That's so.
I know.
That's so weird. Like,
looking back at my relationship with my parents growing up, I never in a million years would have ever dreamed that I would have said something like that about my parents. But I'm so thankful that I can. Yeah. But like,
I just, it's so weird because I still see my parents as my parents. Now, granted, I don't talk to my family half as much as you do. You know, I feel like it's a little different because my mom and dad both work. You know, day to day, my mom's a teacher, my dad runs his own business. And so it's kind of hard to pick and choose when I can call them. Your parents, you know, your dad works, you know, half a year, you know, makes that income. Your mom's pretty much home or able to talk at a moment's notice, right? And you developed that, especially with being overseas. You've already figured that out. For me, it's a lot different because I would like to call them on a Tuesday morning, but Monday night, their time, my mom's teaching a class, my dad might be at a meeting, like things like that. So, you know, I just don't have the friendship relationship that you have with your parents because my parents and I just don't talk as often as I would like, or as often as I should, if you will.
Right. What was I saying before I got on that rabbit trail, though?
No idea.
This seems to be happening a lot tonight. That's okay.
This is your fault.
But just that idea of, you know, PCSing, it's stressful as it is, and it was really difficult for us to communicate with one another without either one of us sounding like, this is your fault or you're a horrible person. Because I know for me, one of my biggest frustrations through that process was I'm a planner and I'm an organizer, and PCSing is definitely something you have to be organized and prepared for mentally, physically. I mean, you have to be. And a lot of this was just the issue with, at the time, unfortunately, you didn't have the world's greatest command who was responsive to the fact that we were PCSing. And so it was difficult for you to get the things done you needed to get done just for yourself, let alone get things done that needed to take priority for your whole family to come. And so I know we spent a lot of frustrated nights just kind of going back and forth about, well, this needs to be done. Well, that needs to be done. Well, I can't leave work. Well, you need to. And the lack of communication really impacted our marriage in a pretty negative way. And once we got to Japan, you know, we didn't have that stress, but we were able to take a step back. And I think it was just some of the daily changes that we made in our lifestyle that gave us the opportunity to sit back and have those conversations with each other in a much healthier way. Plus the fact that obviously we moved after having Addison, and my perspective on my own mental health was much different at that point than it had been after having the boys. Because I had sought some pretty serious medical help for my anxiety, started doing research, started making some lifestyle changes. And since we've been out here, made even more lifestyle changes just to make sure that I'm taking time for myself and staying strong, not just mentally, but physically as well, which has played a huge role in having just a better day in general. Not feeling as anxious, feeling like I can get things done, having more energy and getting more accomplished, and even just being a better mom and setting a better example for our kids on a daily basis. But I think just all that and having clarity of mind allowed me to be able to take a step back from everything going on around me and to realize that I could communicate one way with my girlfriends about it. When it came to my husband, I had to find a way to communicate with you on your level that made sense so that it didn't sound like I was complaining or making an excuse, but instead really showing you, you know, I'm your wife and I'm really struggling with something and I don't necessarily need you to fix it, but I need your support. And I think that was really the breakthrough for us, was when you realized that I wasn't asking you to fix something and I wasn't complaining about something. I was just asking for you to support me through it and understand that some days are going to be really good, but some days are going to be really hard. And I think the biggest time that I saw, like, that it just finally clicked for us as a married couple was maybe, I want to say it was 3 or 4 weeks ago now. I was just really struggling. And you and I just sat down and you just got really honest with me, but in a really just gentle way. And I really feel like you kind of just came alongside me in a time when I was struggling and didn't want to admit I was struggling because I didn't want to come across as weak. And I think that that's something else that women can struggle with too. You know, you had mentioned men can struggle with mental health issues and they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to appear weak. And that's totally understandable. Mm-hmm. I think women have those moments too. And, you know, being here 7,000 plus miles away from all of our family, being on our own, you know, now we're dealing with all this COVID stuff. So it's not like we can go out and make friends. So I still kind of feel like we're in that new to the island stage. And we just got here because as soon as we got here, everything shut down. And so I didn't want to appear weak. And yet in that moment, our communication had improved enough that you just kind of knew that you needed to come alongside me. And rather than pointing fingers or accusing or taking what I was saying as an excuse, you kind of just picked me up and walked alongside me. And after about a week, I feel like I got back on my feet and it's been much different since then. But I've definitely noticed a change when our methods of communication changed. And we realized that sometimes the way that we were communicating with each other about our thoughts and our day wasn't effective. And we needed to change that method of communication, meaning that we had to make the effort to communicate in a different way with our spouse. We couldn't just expect them to understand what we were saying. We had to actually put in the thought, time, and effort to make the change so that it could make sense to you, so that you could know how, as my spouse, to support me through that.
Oh, yeah. And I honestly think, wow, that was loud. I honestly think that with how I guess we just talked to each other played a really big part. I guess how I talked to you about it. Once you and I sat down and we had a conversation about how you were feeling and trying to understand, trying to give each other clues about how our day was going, this, that, and the third, that actually helped me a lot more because I know like I would come home some days and, you know, you would tell me, you'd be like, hey, you know, oh, what's the one we get? Oh, hey, you would tell me like, this is my goal for tomorrow. I'm going to knock this out. And I'm like, all right, okay, cool. All right. Knock yourself out. All right. As soon as I get home, I'll try my best to, you know, help you out as best I can. Right. And then you got better at texting me in the morning or during the day. And saying, hey, such and such didn't get done today. It's been a rough day today. So then my attitude would change on my way home. So I wouldn't come in and be like, I thought you said you were going to do the dishes and finish the laundry. Blah, like freak out on you. You know, I didn't want to do that. I said, you know, in my head, I'm just like, okay, she's at home all day. What's the big deal? You can knock it out. Like, stop being lazy. Stop making excuses. And that was initially what I thought. But the more and more you and I would talk to each other, and I'd come home and I'd see you, and your face would be like, thank God you're home.
Right.
Right. And so I was, especially the last couple of weeks where, you know, I would always ask, like, hey, what are we doing for dinner? And you're like, oh, we're doing X. Or you're like, oh, I don't know yet. Like, I had this plan. I said, I'm just so tired. And I'm just like, my mind, I'm just like, well, I like to cook. So if that's one thing I can do to kind of take some of the weight off of your shoulders, mm-hmm. then I'll do it. You know, plus I cook better than you. Anyway.
Wow. So
that's a whole podcast in and of itself. Stay tuned for part three.
How not to talk to your spouse.
But no, I think like, I don't know. I don't want you to make me sound like I'm just this warm, hearty, nice, kind man now with this podcast. I'm not. I'm brash. I say really dumb things at the most inopportune times. I'm very open and I just go ahead and tell you how I see it, regardless of your feelings, because facts don't care about your feelings. Ben Shapiro taught me that. Shout out at Ben Shapiro. Instagram. Anyways. But I try my best to be honest with you without trying to like crush your soul, right? Because I could do that in the Marine Corps. I could tell somebody, in fact, I just had a conversation with my NCOs a little bit ago, and I was just very honest about how I saw them as individuals, not individuals, but as individual Marines, right? Because everyone talks about, you guys got to come together, work as a team. I'm like, forget that. You suck, you suck, you suck. And I just kind of went down the line, and they're all like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, guess what? That's how I feel about y'all right now. Like, now that you know the discrepancies, go fix them, right? Because too many people walk around acting like they're fine, fine and dandy. I try my best not to be so brash with you all the time, because you are a sensitive soul. Like, you really are.
Though I see things.
So you really don't. Like, you bruise like a peach. Chill out. Like,
you see what I did there?
Yeah, I know. But it hurts. Friends never stood down when. Sorry. Okay. back on topic. This is why you get so many listens when I'm on. This is exactly why.
Now everyone's going to be asking for the Disney sing along episode.
Absolutely not. but, anyways, oh gosh, man. See, you get me off topic so many times. Holy cow. Man. But I think with our relationship over the last 4 years, give or take, we've learned as good of communicators as we already were. Just because you can talk well does not mean you know how to communicate what you're actually saying. Because there's times where you and I talk to each other and it's just talk. We just get words out and we really don't know if the other person has absorbed the information that has just come out. We really don't know. I know it's been nice lately that you and I have put the kids to bed a little bit earlier, and we stay up and we cook, or I cook. I'll cook while you just kind of decompress from your day, and cooking's my decompression from the day. And then you and I sit down and have a meal together and actually talk and have a conversation to where the two of us are listening and we're actually hearing each other. That, I think, has been a really big part in both of our mental health, issues that have come up, especially now with me being in the job position that I'm at now. Granted, we have been in that position before, but back then I didn't know how to express it to you. I would just come home pissed off and I would, you know, drink an obscene amount of alcohol and go to bed. Like, that's just how it was, because that's how I handled it, right? Because I couldn't show you that. Brand new to a marriage and I'm running a radio chief's billet, and I come in and you're just, how was your day? Oh, it was fine. Next thing you know, 18 beers later, and I'm like, time to go to bed. Like, I didn't know how to express it to you. And I think that's the beautiful part about growing in marriage, is like, you actually learn how to talk to your spouse. You can text all day long and you can talk all day long, but actually conversating with your spouse is a huge key in a successful marriage.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Now that I've ranted.
So I think that actually pretty much sums it up. I know that there's a lot of areas that we could talk on. But I thought that this second part would just be a good addition to the first, because in reality, what it comes down to is I could do just part one of this episode and talk about, you know, this is what I've experienced with mental health. This is where I'm coming from. And for those of you who listened to episode one, you know that my story with it stems all the way back to my childhood, and I didn't even know it until I was an adult. And now as an adult looking back, you know, now as a married adult, even more so, I'm realizing that mental health marriage does take two people. Yes, absolutely. There's things that I need to do, and I have to do them to maintain it. If you are not doing your part to maintain your mental and overall health, you really can't expect it to get better. And that may sound really harsh, but that's really just the truest reality that there is. And I really realized that when I got to the point with my anxiety after Addison, that it was to the point where I literally could not function. I couldn't hold a conversation with people who we went to church with, because I was so terrified that someone else was going to make a joke about us getting pregnant with a fourth. And my anxiety about it was so because it terrified me. I don't think I even I don't think I even mentioned this on the first episode, but if you've listened to my episode about anxiety in the church, I did talk a little bit about, after Addison was born, the biggest the biggest, I don't know. I guess the day of the week, which my anxiety was the worst, was Sundays. I loved our church in Jacksonville. I loved the people and I wanted to be with them, but with a newborn, going to church on Sundays was literally a living nightmare for me. It was,
that was horrible. Rough. Yeah. I remember you mentioning that in the podcast. I think I might've been part of a podcast either right before or right after it, but we didn't hit that a little bit. And that was really rough for me because I was playing the piano or I was leading music. So I was up away from you and I could see you sitting there in the service and just kind of hoping and praying that Addison wouldn't just spout off and just scream at the top of her lungs. And the next thing you know, I would look over and you'd be gone. And then you would stay out for the rest of the service because you were afraid that Addison was going to freak out, that she was going to need something. And you were just all over the place. Like that was a rough time for our family.
And so
it
when
really
I finally,
was. So which is one of the reasons why that's one of the reasons why we didn't go to the church as much. Oh, excuse me. That's why the reason why we didn't go to church as much with Addison. Like the Wednesday night service or some of the other, fellowship, church fellowship things is because I knew you were so just anxious all the time with her, especially around that amount of people.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, I kind of got to that point and realized, I've got to do something because I literally couldn't function. Like my everyday life was literally disrupted because I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't go anywhere. Getting dressed, picking out clothes in the morning gave me anxiety. And I'm the kind of person, there's those new moms or moms of multiples who say, I've gone days without showering. I cannot do that. It is just...
How? That's just bad hygiene. Like, that's laziness.
Well,
that is 100%
like, I totally get it that there are some moms who are like... dry shampoo and let's just go. I just can't. Like, it's just not my nappy. Honestly, I have nothing against those moms. Like, there are days where I'm so tired, I'm like, maybe I will. And I just can't bring myself to do it. It's just not in my blood. But,
happening.
So I would...
And with how active you are, if you went without a shower,
I mean, that could be a compliment, or it could not. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
I'm saying with how active you are, I can tell.
Yeah.
Slap some deodorant on. Yeah. Call it a day. Like, fake it till you make it, baby girl.
But that's just the point that I was at, and it wasn't until I finally realized I can't do this anymore. I physically cannot do this anymore, and I went to my doctor. And was just really honest with her about it. And she told me, she said, that's totally normal. Here, let's fix the problem. And put me on meds. And within 3 days, I was a completely different person. And it was at that point that I realized my mental health will never improve if I'm not taking the first step to improve it. So, that
absolutely 100%
purpose of part one. But at the same time, that I wanted to say at the same time, if you're married or you are in a relationship with someone, even if you're not married yet, if you're engaged, getting ready to be married, this is something you need to be having conversations about now.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, absolutely 100%. Mm-hmm. There's no help for you if you're not going to help yourself. But at the same time, if you are in a relationship with someone or married, that person has an obligation to be part of a team with you, to also walk you through, to be sensitive to your needs, love you when you need to be loved, to understand what's going on, and to have and support that effective communication to have the best outcome when it comes to yours and their own mental health. So it's a one-on-one thing, but when you're married, it's also a team effort. It's got to be.
Absolutely. But the same side, you as the individual cannot constantly lean on somebody, because what if that person's not there? Like, if you and I don't talk on a frequent basis and communicate on a frequent basis, it's not the end of the world. But at the same time, if you're not able to handle your emotional status, or I'm not able to handle my emotional status without each other, when I take off to a deployment, or I have to go to the field, or I'm on duty one night, something of that nature, and you have a mental breakdown, I can't always just take off where I'm at to come be with you to help you through that. So I think it's a very fine blend of working together as a married couple, or even as just an engaged couple. And also on the individual side of taking care of it on your own. So otherwise you're just going to find yourself.
And I had mentioned in my last episode too, you know, cause I do have friends who are single parents who don't have a spouse or a significant other to come alongside them. Mm-hmm. Find someone who can hold you accountable. Find a friend who you can call day or night. Find a family member who you can call, have that support system. You know, I know for me, and like I said at the beginning, I know that not all of my listeners have the same biblical perspective as you and I do, and that's okay. But for me, you know, at the end of the day, I do have people who I can call, but I also know that I have God. And honestly, that's what has pulled me through a lot over the last couple of months. Believe me, there have been situations where my mental health should have jumped off the bridge, off the boat, waiting at the bottom of the bridge for it, and said sayonara and gone to Mexico. And now that the borders are closed, it can't come back. You know, that's really the condition I should be in after some of the things we've gone through over the last just 6 months.
That was the craziest example ever. I'm picking up what you're putting down. That was really good. You better write that one down so you don't forget it.
But
oh gosh, I'm gonna laugh about that one for a while. That was good. No, it was really good. Like you actually impressed me, because normally that's like my that's my thing.
You're welcome. You can feel free to use that one.
No, I won't.
But you know, and at the end of the day, I had situations where people looked at me and they said, you know, I don't understand how you can be so calm about this. I don't understand, you know, why you're still making this decision or that. And honestly, the majority of the time my answer was, I don't know either, and I can't explain it. The only thing I can say is that it's God. And that's the truth. Like, at the end of the day, and I can still confidently stand here and say, I don't know why I was so calm in those situations, but it was God. And that's all there was to it. And sometimes, sometimes that's the 100%. Best answer. Even in a moment, if you don't understand, you know, the depths of God's love for you or what he's capable of, sometimes that's still the best answer. So.
Yeah, honestly. At the end of the day, honestly, at the end of the day, what do we have left? What do we have left? Like, that's why I'm so chill about all of this. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I have all the answers, or my Marines did ask me that. Just like, they're like, why are you just so chill about all this nonsense, man? I'm just like, I'm losing my mind. I was like, honestly, I don't know, man. I was like, I feel like I'm at a better place in my life right now that I can sit back and not freak out over the littlest thing. I can take a look at the data from all this COVID nonsense, and I can understand that it's not as bad as everybody's saying. I am not saying that it is not real, but I am saying that if you really look at the entire picture of everything that's going on, it's not that bad.
Right.
And this too shall pass.
Exactly.
You know?
All right. Well, I think that we've summed it up pretty good and hit the points I wanted to hit. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up there.
Good.
But I said I was going to do this. Oh, stop it.
Thank you, Lord.
I said I was going to do this again, so I'm
just kidding.
If you haven't checked out Tyler's podcast yet, Time Off Talk, go ahead and check out his content. You can find him on Spotify and through the Anchor app. Are those the only two platforms you're on?
You can also find me on Instagram at Time Off Talk 2020. I have posted links to the Anchor app within my profile. So if you want to check it out, I have four of the podcasts up right now, including one with a special guest at Taylor Lassiter, one of my old NCOs. So yeah, hit me up. Time Off Talk 2020. Perfect. on Instagram.
And as always, if you want to reach out, comments, questions, suggestions, or even just to say, hey, you can reach me at caffeineandchaos3@gmail.com or follow me on Instagram at caffeineandchaos3. Ew. Don't forget to like the Facebook page. Also, I know it's May, but wanted to make sure I got this episode to you guys. Don't panic if you don't see a lot of episodes this month. I am taking my creative sabbatical to work on some more content to come at you in the month of June. Boy. And tuned because Tyler and I will be releasing our trailer for our new podcast, Oaky Living, at some point this month. And that will launch back when Caffeine and Chaos launches in June. So in the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day. Have a great month of May. And we will catch y'all later.
Absolutely. May the 4th be with you. You already know.
All right, guys. We'll catch you later.